All right, let's do this. We're going live in 5, 4, 3.
Oh my, just so many business podcasts out there. How can I possibly know where to begin? Here at Intrepid Business, we are about stripping away all of the usual boring fluff and instead focus on showcasing real people doing real business, achieving amazing things. The ones truly changing the world, the instigators making a dent, the people changing how we do sales and marketing, leading innovation, the people redefining leadership. But who are these people? Why do they do what they do? How do they do what they do? Find out on Intrepid Business. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to Intrepid Business. I am your host, Todd Schneck. I'm very fortunate. I've had today's guest on the show before and we had such a stellar conversation. I have been so looking forward to having this gentleman back on the show. So let's say hello to Edward Brown. He's the president and co-chairman of the Cohen Brown Management Group. Ed, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. And I'm so glad to be back.
Well, I'm glad to have you. I appreciate your making time. I know you're an awfully busy fellow, so appreciate you doing that. Before we get into our very important conversation, remind the audience a bit about you and your background.
Well, I'm 79. I'm happy to say going on 35. Been doing research on behavioral change with my partner, Dr. Martin L. Cohen, MD, for 4 decades and been having tons of fun doing it.
Outstanding. Well, part of the reason we're discussing today's discussion topic is that you have a new book out soon called Let Go and Leap. We'll talk more about that in a second. But what we're really here to talk about, Ed, is this whole idea of fear and why it's there, how it manifests itself, how it plagues us all. And it's a subject matter that is near and dear to my heart. I mean, to be perfectly frank, I named my organization after the word intrepid because I want all of us to be more intrepid and be fearless about how we approach our life, our business, our family, our most important endeavors. And so what we're going to be talking about today is so critically important, and I'm grateful that you're here to make some time to do that. So let's just jump right in, Ed. And I guess the most important question to lead off this discussion is to ask you, what is fear? And where does it come from?
Well, Todd, Webster defines fear as a state that makes us unable to do what is right and/or expected of us due to a lack of courage. Fear itself is derived from either genetic sources or classical behavioral conditioning, and it could be both. So let's start out with the fact that when we're kids and going into grade school, if we don't have parents that have reinforced our positive self-image and self-confidence, things happen when our parents aren't around in grade school. Mean teachers, mean peers start leaving us with scar tissue that we carry from the cradle to the grave. It could happen in grade school, as I said, or it could have happened in high school or college or all three. When we get into business and we start our professional lives, we carry this scar tissue as though it was excess psychological scar tissue that has to be disposed of. Otherwise, we end up as introverts and timid and unable to compete with others who want growth and are seeking career pathing for achievement in the same space. Let's begin with the fact that fear has been with us since the beginning of human time. The cavemen developed their survival instincts when they were forced to make a decision of fight or flight when they faced the saber-toothed tiger. Perhaps it's there that we developed our survival instincts and realized that sometimes fear is a good thing. On the other hand, the fear that we've developed right now in 2016 from fear mongers makes us go back to thinking it's not the events of life, it's our perception of those events that shape our destiny. If, sadly, we bring fear that's derived from sociological sources into our professional lives, it affects our task roles and responsibilities in a very negative way. Todd, every generation has its own political fear mongers. Right now, the Republican Party is telling us that they, if they elect the right nominee, will prevent ISIS from showing up in our cities. And I think that began perhaps things like this as far back as the 40s when we were attacked by the Japanese in Pearl Harbor and the Europeans were attacked by Hitler in Europe. In the 50s, it was McCarthyism and the Red Scare. In the 60s, it was the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Nikita Khrushchev. Todd, if you remember, Nikita Khrushchev banging his shoe on the tables, telling us that he would take his 15,000 warheads and blow us to smithereens. In the 70s, you'll probably remember the Satanic Panic and the Jonestown Massacre. In the 90s, it was the Y2 crisis. Then it was 9/11 and Al-Qaeda, and today it's ISIS. Todd, what do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, number of thoughts, Ed. There are certainly have been fearmongers through the history of time, right? And modern day terrorists get away. They get away with this because of the fact that we all have this fear in us, and they play off of that. I guess two questions for you.
Yeah, please.
One is, how do we empower ourselves to not be prey to that kind of fear mongering? I mean, how can we say, wait a minute, don't let them make you afraid? How do you combat that? And we're going to discuss that, I suspect, through the duration of this broadcast. But the other question is I can remember back from my childhood, I wasn't afraid of anything. As kids, we were fearless. We would go out there and we would roughhouse. We'd do crazy things. We'd jump downstairs. I mean, we had no fear. What happens culturally in our lives where we begin to allow ourselves to be governed and be a prey to fear? I mean, we start out that way, not being afraid of anything, but we go into our adult lives and we mature as very, very fearful people. It's sad how that happens.
Wonderful question, Todd. We lose perspective of our sensibilities and our courage because CNN, that otherwise known as continuous negative news, drills down 24/7 and exaggerates the cause and effect of fear. And we have to develop an immunity that allows us to put things in perspective and recognize that we are responsible for putting things in perspective and separating the truth from perception of truth.
Well, it comes all down to you can choose how to react to something, right? You can be afraid, or you could say you could go another course. I think it's also important to discuss here, Ed, and I think this is a big lesson I've learned through my examination of all this, is that you cannot be fearless. Fear is always going to be there. It's who we are. It's part of our DNA. So there's not ever going to be an absence of fear, but you have to learn how to overcome fear, right? And how do you do that?
Well, I suggest this. Remember that the world is not such a bad place, no matter what you hear. As you know, Todd, we forget sometimes that in the last 20 years, there have been far less violent deaths than in any other time in history. The mortality rate of children has dropped fivefold. World hunger has been reduced and may very well become eliminated in the next 5 years. Stop and think, Todd, about your smartphone. Do you know that it is significantly more powerful than the computer used by NASA for the moon landings? The breakthrough in cancer research is bringing us closer and closer to a vaccine than ever before. In 5 years, we will have mass-marketed self-driving cars, which will make accidents a thing of the past, which in turn will revolutionize the entire insurance industry. One more thing, Todd. Courage is an acquirable skill, and courage conquers fear. And would you like to talk about that, Todd?
Yeah, I want to get into that. I'll make one more comment. I was in a meeting in downtown Chicago last night. I walked a mile and a half home, and I'm happy to note, Ed, I did not see any saber-toothed tigers on my way home.
Congratulations.
So your point is that the world is no, certainly there's certainly spots that are dangerous and scary, but the fact is, in the modern world, there's a lot less to be afraid of than we allow ourselves to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to explore further this idea that courage is a learnable skill, because I don't think most people feel that way. I don't think they think that they can actually build up courage to overcome fear. How do you do that?
Well, let me talk about how to overcome fear in business by building up a courage. It's called the Off-Broadway principle. It's only a metaphor which teaches that if you take small risks and achieve small rewards, and then take larger risk and receive larger rewards, and do so over a prescribed period of time. In my book, Let Go and Leap, I teach whatever is necessary for managers and all professionals to know all that they need to know, to do whatever is necessary to be successful. But you cannot teach experience. And that's why I use the Off-Broadway principle. I tell everyone, you cannot teach experience, Todd. You have to do experience. So I take what they learn in that one day of training called Let Go, and in Leap, which means learning experience application, I have them do 10 days of implementing, using the Off-Broadway principle, all that they learned in that one day of training. On the 11th day, they cross-pollinate victories and experiences, and it's like watching a caterpillar turn into a monarch butterfly. They actually, in 11 days, go through a positive transition. That's absolutely amazing, Todd.
Yeah, it sounds very, very cool. All right. Ed and I are going to return after this short break, in which time we're going to talk about the five main types of fear that business professionals suffer from and more about how fear is manifested in that workplace. All right. We'll be right back after this short break.
In today's workplace, business leaders face significant pressure to recruit and retain the best employees, to effectively build a team, to create a culture that is healthy, productive, and dynamic, and to empower their staff in managing stress and finding balance. And behind all those pressures is one goal, to strengthen and grow the business. And too many organizations struggle with this. Unlimited Coaching Solutions provides customized strategies and training to help reach your goals and take your teams to the next level. Call them today at 585-248-9322. Or find them online at unlimitedcoaching.com.
All right, I am back with Edward Brown, the president and co-chairman of the Cohen Brown Management Group and the author of a new book called Let Go and Leap. So, Ed, before the break, I promised that we were going to discuss the five main types of fear that most business professionals suffer from. So walk us through those and any other things we ought to be aware of how fear manifests itself in that workplace.
Certainly. If you remember, Todd, in our last interview, when I discussed the time bandit solution for recovering stolen time you never knew you had, I mentioned that there's too much to do and not enough time to meet deadlines. And that scares the hell out of people in the workplace. And so I teach them how to get rid of interruptions, which I call time bandits, and do so gracefully. And that all by itself is so important, especially to victims of time bandits in open floor plan architecture, where people sit in cubicles. Offices are really a thing of the past. And so no one has any privacy in open floor plan.
Right.
The solution for that is mutual time lock agreements, where the time bandit and the victim of the time bandit actually enter into a deal with each other for periods of uninterrupted time, enabling the victim to have privacy and the ability to build uninterrupted momentum. But the other great fear, other than time, is fear of rejection.
Mm.
People don't like to take chances of becoming rejected, and so they become exposed to underperformance, rather than face the rejection. Let's face it, to sales professional, for instance, Todd, rejection feels like a blow in the solar plexus. It's both embarrassing and destructive and psychologically very, very damaging and leaves scar tissue. Then there's fear of failure. People unreasonably avoid risk to avoid failure. The tachophobia is the abnormal and unwarranted persistent fear of failure, such that they choose not to take reasonable risk or even to try. That's this unwillingness to try holds the tachophobia from life. And my trainees tell me that it's a fear of failure that make them feel they're never going to get the job done and they're not necessarily qualified to do it. And it's not true. If they were to conduct a personal needs analysis and get trained and would feel qualified to do whatever it is they had to do and use the principle of the off-Broadway principle to enable them to get the experience doing what it is they feel otherwise unqualified to do, they would have both knowledge and experience, and that's what they need to get rid of fear of failure. The next one you're going to find very strange. When I told a host that there's also a fear of success, she said to me, Ed, that's an oxymoron. How on earth can you fear success? So I'm going to tell you what I told her. There's a book written by Joan C. Harvey, a professor from the University of Pennsylvania, called The Imposter Phenomenon, who she says identifies people who feel that they were just lucky when in fact they were skilled, and they don't believe in themselves because they have psychological scar tissue that I've described as they were growing up. They just lack feelings of self-confidence, and they feel like imposters and frauds, even though they get recognized for great success. And what they worried about most, according to my research, is that because of success they had 1 month, managers expected them to continue to be successful month after month, and they didn't feel they were qualified. Can you imagine that, Todd?
I can imagine it because I have a fear of success. I mean, I get it. I understand it implicitly. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to me.
So the fact is, though, Todd, you do have the skill, and others around you, your managers, your producers, must tell you you have skill. If you ever feel you're lucky and because you're getting the ratings you've always wanted, believe me, I've been around a lot of hosts. You have no reason to ever feel lucky. Trust me. Then there's the fear of the unknown, Todd, which is an anti-entrepreneurial experience. And because of being afraid and excited, like I always feel, you don't take chances and you hold back. So here's the solution. Remember what I said about courage conquers fear. There's more good things happening and then there are bad things. Don't listen to the fear mongers and without keeping everything in perspective. And think about what I said, everybody, when I said, do a self appraisal or get it from someone else. Do a personal needs analysis and analyze if you need certain training to be more capable than you currently are. When you know you are, use the off-Broadway principle. And I don't know how much time we have, Todd, but...
Well, I had some comments on the five types of fear. I mean, when it talks about time deficit, the fear of time deficits, I mean, look, we've discussed this subject matter before, and the fact is we all, I shouldn't say we all, but most of us are really poor managers of our time. We take on too much, and it's one of those deals where one of my favorite quotes is, the most successful people say no most of the time because they don't have the time to do what everyone wants them to do. They focus on the priorities, and I think that's an important skill. And if you can learn that, then I think that potentially removes fear of time deficit. This whole idea of fear of rejection and fear of failure and fear of the unknown, I've been a tremendous victim of those over the years, but when I allow myself to be real and think about, all right, all these. These rejections you have when you lost a sale, when you failed at something, and when you, how bad was it really? I mean, I ask you, I mean, if you get mauled by a saber-toothed tiger, it's done. You're over. You're in the grave. But if you lost a sale, or if you disappointed a boss, or disappointed a friend or family, you live to fight another day, and it's a lesson learned. I mean, so people are so paralyzed by those three fears, the rejection, failure, and unknown. But I always, my biggest question to myself is, yeah, but how bad is it really? You're still, the sun still came up the next day. You're still there fighting. Just, you learn something, so move on. So my comment, I want to ask you to comment on all of these, but my final thoughts on the fear of success is, I think the biggest deficiency of most human beings is lack of focus on ourself. We aren't self-aware. We don't provide compassion to ourselves. We think we can only provide compassion to others when we're not compassionate with ourselves. And I think if you begin to say, it's the classic example on the airline, put your mask on first before you put it on the kid, is because if you're not there, then you can't save the kid, right? I mean, so it's that same principle. I mean, I think if we can become more self-aware and show compassion to ourselves, don't you think then that gets you in a mindset and a framework where fear of success will no longer get you down?
Yes, absolutely. And there's something else. It would take me a whole lot of the program with you, Todd, to discuss in detail. It's mindfulness. It's my next book. It's called The Mental Hygiene Process. Mm. There are seven correlators of psychotherapeutic techniques, everyone, that begins with transcending the environment, so that if you live your life like a thermometer, so when the heat goes up, you feel hot. When the temperature goes down, you become cold. Don't need to do that. There was a wonderful book about Viktor Frankl, who was an Auschwitz survivor, who said, along with Carbine Williams, both of whom said, as prisoners of war, that their body was there in the prison camp, but their mind was elsewhere. Carbine Williams invented the repeater rifle when he was a prisoner of war in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. So to your point, Todd, first of all, causes of fear are around us always. And the decision to, in your example, and your metaphor of, or an anecdote of, if a plane is going down, take care of your kid first, is not a good idea. Take care of yourself. There is a concept called the critical few versus the minor many choices that we must make in life. It's built around the 20-80 rule, and it covers what we were discussing earlier about prioritizing and time management, that if we knew the most critical things to do in the event we were forced to prioritize for any reason, including the one that you gave, there's a method by which you study the effective reason to use examples of why you would do the critical one instead of the critical two, or the critical three instead of the minor many things that you could also be doing. And it's called the Dearsome Logic System. I'm not going to go into it now, but in business and in science, my partner's a psychiatrist, and he gave me this analysis. It's always important for us to keep a perspective over the most important things we do versus the least important things we do, and prioritize that way. And if we do, you'll find that you always have plenty of time to take care of the things that matter most in life. And as to transcending the environment, if you do certain exercises that I'll discuss at another time, you'll be able to immunize yourself, as Viktor Frankl did and as Carbine Williams did, so that you can actually use mindfulness to put yourself in another place, in a better place, and visualize success. When all around you are visualizing failure, you visualize success, and you use certain meditative relaxation techniques, and you'll be fine. I wish I could discuss this more, Ty, but I'm very, very aware of the fact we're running out of time. Ask me any questions.
I love all that, and the focusing on the critical few versus the minor many. I mean, that principle applies to can have an impact on so many facets of your life. I love that. I love that idea. And most of us, I hate to use a pun here, but we're afraid to do that because they think, oh well, I'm expected to handle all the many. When in fact, there's just no way it's possible. And I've heard you say, Ed, that success is not for the faint of heart. And I want to reiterate two key points. One is, you're never going to get rid of fear. Fear, there's no way to have an absence of fear. You have to figure out how to overcome it. But two, success isn't easy. And it does cause you pause. It can be frightening. And there's never going to be a situation where you're going to be quote successful, however you define that. And that never is, then it doesn't mean you're on the downhill easy path. I mean, this process never ends, right? I mean, this is a constant thing you got to battle and face, right?
Yes, yes, yes. But do remember, courage is an attainable skill. I had to learn it myself. I had a lot of reasons. I grew up in the East Bronx with a lot of gangs. In the early days, there were bad things going on, as there are today. And I needed courage to survive. Growing up, and I needed courage to come out to the West Coast and become the person I am today. And I learned how to be courageous, I suppose, in a relative sense. I'm not a hero, believe me. And I was one of the members of the Faint of Heart Club. But I developed the courage through using the off-Broadway principle, where I began to take small risks. And I felt good about the fact that I succeeded, and I took larger risks, and I felt even better. And eventually I became, frankly, courageous. I am courageous, and I can teach courage. And I believe, Todd, you have become a role model for courage, so that you have a fair success. This absolutely amazes me. And let me be the first to tell you, you have no reason to fear success as a host. And I told you off camera, you are indeed one of the best hosts I've ever spoken with, and I've spoken to 100. And I'm sure your listeners agree with me.
Well, you're very kind to say that. I want to reiterate one key point you said. Yes, courage is an acquirable skill, but it's one that requires constant work, right? I mean, you don't just Absolutely. Conquer it and then you're done for the rest of your life.
No.
You got to tend to this forever.
Forever. Like watering grass, it's something you work at every day of your life.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Let's close on this one final question, Ed. Sure. Go a little deeper on Let Go and Leap. Tell us more about the book. I mean, we've been discussing the themes from the book for this whole conversation, but share a little more insight on the book itself.
Sure. Okay. One day I received a call from a client. Very important client, and he was the CEO of a very important bank. And he said, you know, Ed, I'm surrounded by cowards. My managers are cowards. He said, they don't give me honesty in coaching, and the people they coach, the truth about their performance. They'd rather allow fallacious performance appraisals than criticize the people they manage, because they have a fear of pushback. They don't want to hear, who are you to coach me? I know more about what I'm doing than you do. I was doing what I'm doing before you were born, that sort of a thing. Mm. And so the fear of fallacious performance appraisals and the fear of pushback has motivated me to write a book about let go of fear by becoming great at what you do, and then try the 10-day principle of the off-Broadway principle, and therefore the book is called Let Go and Leap.
I love it. All right, Ed, we're about out of time. Before I let you go, a couple of things. Where can people go to learn more about the book? Where can they go and learn about your work? And should they want to contact you with any questions, how do they find you?
Just log in, conebrown.com. You'll get, if you want one, a free consultation and gap analysis, along with a copy of Let Go and Leap and my article called Surviving the Workplace Privacy Crisis in an Open Office Plan format. Anything else they need concerning their own behavior and need for developing courage and learning how and why courage conquers fear.
All right. Edward Brown, the author of the new book, Let Go and Leap, available soon, and the president and co-chairman of Cohen Brown Management Group. Ed, my friend, as always, a real joy, a real pleasure to spend some time with you.
I loved it, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Again, on behalf of my guest, Edward Brown, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Business.